Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Listen in as we journey to some of Italy's most beautiful places in the company of those who know them best, the families who grow grapes and make fabulous wines. Through their stories, we will learn not just about their wines, but also about their ways of life, the local and regional foods and specialities that pair naturally with their wines, and the most beautiful places to visit. We have a wonderful journey of discovery ahead of us, and I hope you will join me. Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Today we travel to a very special place, the island of Mazzorbo, in the middle of the Venetian Lagoon, to meet Matteo Bisol, CEO of Venisa, to tell us about a very special project, a very special wine, and a very special place. Buongiorno, Matteo. Thanks for being my guest today. How are you?
Ciao, Mark. I'm doing well. It's a wonderful day here in Mazzorbo, so I'm really happy to be with you.
Great. Well, I'm really happy to imagine myself on the island of Mazzorbo with you. But for our listeners, can you give us a sense of where you are, a sense of this special island in the Venetian Lagoon?
So the Venetian Lagoon, it's a quite big lagoon. You know, it's composed mostly, obviously, by water, and there's hundreds of little islands. Mazzorbo, it's in the northern part of the lagoon, and it's close to Burano Island, which is famous for the colorful houses. There's a bridge connecting Burano and Mazzorbo, and it's close as well to Torcello, which is the island where Venice actually was started 1,500 years ago.
Wow, so Mazzorbo itself has a lengthy history. Although it's not an island most people have heard of, it too was important at the beginning of the Venetian civilization in the lagoon, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was. There used to be around 20 churches in Mazzorbo, just to understand how big that island was. And actually the name come from the major city. So there was actually thousands of people living in that area. That was the first place where Venice was started: Mazzorbo, Torcello, Amiana, Costanziaca. And then around the year 1000, people moved from that part of Venice to Venice, which is actually today 30 minutes southern by water taxi, you know. But at that time, that was a little bit longer because there was no engine in the boat. So used to take, it was quite a travel to reach Venice from Mazzorbo.
Sure, and it's still an adventure. I know it's a very special place to come to. I've come by the Vaporetto, the slow boat, but as well, the nicest way is to come on one of those sleek and beautiful and very fast Venetian taxis.
Yeah, it's quite convenient to reach to reach Mazzorbo from Venice, and it's a very beautiful journey and travel to be on a boat on the lagoon. That's definitely an experience that I recommend to anybody that travel to Venice.
Definitely. Now, what's interesting, you know, you've mentioned all of these islands, these small islands, large islands around the Venetian Lagoon. We tend to think of Venice. We think of the main island of Venice. But these islands once had agricultural products growing on them, and still do. And viticulture used to be prevalent. Perhaps there were vineyards even in Venice itself, but viticulture died out. What happened?
So the history of viticulture in the Lagoon of Venice goes back to 2,500 years ago. So even before Venice was started, at the Roman time, the Romans used to have vines in the Lagoon of Venice. So that's a very big history, and we really need to understand that the islands of the Lagoon of Venice has a completely different history compared to Venice itself. Venice is a city which is really based on the trades and merchants, so everything is around that. The Lagoon of Venice, it's a completely different culture. It's a culture based on nature, okay? So people always lived by nature, thanks to nature. So obviously water was very important. The fishermen village of Burano, which is nearby Mazzorbo, as I told before, but also the land and the soil was very important because Mazzorbo and Torcello, and then also Sant'Erasmo, Le Vignole, other islands in the same area, people always lived by nature because they used to be poor people, you know, and so first of all they were growing their gardens, that they were growing the land that was available. And if we look also to the names of the island of Venice, there's an island in the area which is called Le Vignole, you know, Vignole, Vigneto, Vignole. And Vigneto obviously means vineyard in Italian. Actually, the island, there's an island which is now called San Francesco del Deserto because San Francesco came there, but before used to be called the island of the two vineyards, l'isola delle due vigne, and then other and other names that remind us this history of agriculture and especially viticulture in the Lagoon of Venice. So we really need to understand that making wine in Venice, making agriculture in Venice is not something strange, but is actually part of a tradition of the city. So it's very important to preserve this tradition because making viticulture and wine in Venice is completely different than making it in any other place in the world. So also the systems that has been invented by the Venetians to raise the vine in such an environment where you have high tide and all these challenges, these are systems that only exist in Venice. And, you know, this is really part of a history and the patrimonio of the city. So it's very important to maintain this history alive.
Well, that is really, really fascinating to put it in that historical context and to think of what the challenges are in making wine from grapes from vineyards that as you say have to be able to survive acqua alta, the flooding, normally a saline brackish water flooding onto a vineyard would cause great damage. How come that doesn't happen with your vineyard on Mazzorbo? Because I know it actually can flood at times, can't it?
Yes, actually, the vineyard has been flooded in the big 2019 Acqua Alta, and we actually were very worried about the consequences of this Acqua Alta because we know that it's a very dangerous phenomenon. And actually, the Acqua Alta was in November, and up to April, we didn't know if the vineyard was surviving or not, you know, because that's the winter time where the vines are actually sleeping. So the point is that in Venice exists a grape variety which is called Dorona di Venezia, which is a local grape variety. So this local grape variety adapts itself to survive in this environment. You know, vine, it's an amazing plant that in Italy we have more than 1,000 different grape varieties. And the reason is that each grape variety adapt itself to a special environment, to special condition of the soil, of the weather, of everything that find in place where it's living. So Dorona di Venezia adapted itself to survive in the Lagoon of Venice. And it's a grape variety that was almost extinct because when we started in 2002, we only found 80 vines of Dorona di Venezia in the Lagoon of Venice because people, after, you know, the 60s, and actually there was a very big flooding that in 1966 that created damage even to Dorona. But actually after they lost most of the vines, after raised a lot of opportunities in tourism, in Murano, glass factories, living, being a farmer in Venice was very difficult. It was also expensive to grow things in Venice, and with the motorboats was easier to transport things from out of Venice to in. So in that time, during the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, we lost the tradition of viticulture and agriculture in the island of Venice. We were lucky enough to find some of the last farmers of Venice, especially Gastone Vio, that was still growing some vines of Dorona. And then actually we were finding vines of Dorona almost everywhere. Maybe, you know, one vine in the center of Burano Island, a few vines in Torcello in front of a basilica, some vines in the Vignole, even in the states where we're growing actually today in Mazzorbo, and our neighbors also has Dorona. So we collected 80 vines and we reproduced it by a selezione massale. And And so we were able to replant the vineyard in Mazzarbo.
Wow, that is a fascinating story of how this particular grape, unique to the lagoon, was preserved. It would have been lost if the Venisa project hadn't found a way to keep it alive. And the extraordinary thing from what I've tasted Venisa is that it's a grape. Being able to survive is one thing, but it's a grape that's able to produce an extraordinary wine. That's a fascinating part of it. And tell us a little bit about the wine itself, because it's unusual.
Yeah, it's a white wine. It's a white grape variety. Somehow, if we need, you know, each vineyard, each grape variety is related to other grape varieties. So if we need to place Dorona in that chain, we would place it in the families of Trebbiano, Garganega. So these are quite neutral grape varieties that reflects very well the terroir. So it's, Trebbiano and Garganega are wines, are grape varieties that can produce wines that are completely not interested in terms of quality, but can also produce some of the greatest white wines in Italy. Okay, so it's really depend on where the vine is planted and how the vine is grown. We will have incredibly different results. If we think about the Trebbiano of Valentini or some of the Soave, these I think are really some of the best Italian wines, but actually Trebbiano grape varieties are also used to mass production wines. So it's very important that the Dorona di Venezia is in his own environment, the Lagoon of Venice, because I always believe that it's not a matter of having a special grape variety. It's not that Pinot Noir makes a great wine everywhere in the world. Pinot Noir makes a great wine for sure in Burgundy, you know, and Riesling found itself perfectly in Vacau and in Moselle, and Nebbiolo grows perfectly in Piedmont, but we don't have examples of great Nebbiolo somewhere else in the world. So it's not only a matter of the grape variety, but it's always about how the grape variety found the perfect symbiosis with the terroir. And Dorona di Venezia found a perfect symbiosis with the Lagoon of Venice. So that's very important because it's allowed to produce a very balanced wine, a very elegant wine, a wine with obviously a great personality because the terroir is quite unique. The grape variety it's different. So we're talking about a white wine, which is produced with a maceration on the skin. And also here, there's an historical motivation behind that. The reason is quite simple. In Venice, there was no possibility to build an underground cellar, okay? Because actually, you know, with the high tide, with the risk of the high tide, if you build an underground cellar, this would be flooded with the high tides, okay? And underground cellar, it was very important in the past to produce a quality wine because it allowed to keep the temperature low during the summer. So the Venetian had to go around this problem and to find a solution. You know, Venetian people are incredible. They found solution to many problems to in order to be able to build a city in a lagoon. And it's the same thing with the history of this wine. You know, they found incredible system to grow a vineyard, and they found systems obviously also to make the wine. So maceration was the solution, because with maceration you were able to extract the tannins and the antioxidants that are in the skin. This allowed the wine to survive and last longer, even if it's not in a perfect condition during the summer, even if the cellar get a little bit warmer than a normal cellar. So the maceration was really the tradition of making wine in Venice, and we kept this tradition obviously also for our wines. So we make a maceration that lasts around 30 days, 1 month for the Venisa, and around 1 week for the Venusa, which is the second wine of Venisa. And then we keep the wine in concrete tanks, vats, for a few years, and we release the wine only around 4 to 5 years after the harvest, because these wines really need the time to express themselves, and these are wines that can age really, really well. If we have to drink the best Venisa wines today, we would need to drink 2010, 2011 vintages.
Okay, now it's a wonderful wine, and I've had the opportunity to taste it at Venisa, so I can really understand what you're saying. It's a white wine made almost like a red wine in that sense, with this long maceration. In a sense, it's also become a symbol of the Venetian Lagoon and of the heritage of the lagoon. And this is reflected in its beautiful packaging in the bottle and this unique label that the bottle has. Tell us a little bit about this and why you wanted to present the wine in this way.
The reason that bring us to produce a wine like the Nissa was not just to produce wine, but was to restart and keep alive a tradition of the Lagoon of Venice. And as there is the tradition in the Lagoon of Venice of producing wine, there are other amazing traditions of handcrafts. Some of that are related to glass. We all know that Murano Island is very famous for glass. So we felt that in this project, there needed to be a place for also the handcrafters of Murano. And so we don't produce the glass in Murano, because that's artistic glass, and also, you know, otherwise the cost and the price of the bottle would be amazing only for the reason of the glass. But we wanted somehow to have it on board. So we found actually Dorona means the golden grape. This is the Italian translation of the name. And in Venice, there is a family that is called the Battiloro, the gold beaters. That is the last family of a tradition which is almost extinct, which is, the gold beaters. They make the gold leaf with a hammer, and they have this amazing tradition that goes back to centuries and centuries. And they are now the last families that is doing that. And we are actually the last producer of the gold grape. So we wanted to somehow try to keep both the tradition alive, to help out also this tradition to be more well known. And in Murano Island, the gold leaf is baked into the glass. So there's a family in Murano that is specialized in applying the gold leaf to the bottle, to the glass. So they actually cook the gold leaf inside the bottle, and they engraft. They write the Nissa and the number of a bottle out of a total number of bottles produced in the glass.
Oh, it's such a beautiful bottle, and it's a really fitting bottle for this special wine. Now, Matteo, Venisa is a wine project, but it's more than that. It's also a hospitality project of bringing people to Mazzorbo with the hotel, a wonderful restaurant, and an osteria. Tell us a little bit about the hospitality side of Venisa.
Yes, Venisa, it's a claw. It's a 2-hectare claw in the island of Mazzorbo. It's completely surrounded by this medieval wall, and there's a tower from the 1300s that is in front of a vineyard. So it's a very beautiful place. And in the past, this place used to be a winery up to the 60s, and there was a big building that was the house of the winemaker and the family, you know, of the farmers. So we decided to renovate the buildings and to create hospitality to be able to taste the wine with our guests in front of the vineyard, because this is really how you can really understand the uniqueness and the magic of this and the history that is behind this wine. So we created a restaurant which got the Michelin star in 2012 and got also the green Michelin star this year, just a few months ago, for sustainability. We grow our own vegetables. So we don't use any plastic also in the cuisine. We don't use a sous vide technique. And then we also created an Osteria Contemporanea, which is a kind of a bistro, a more easy format for the people that want to pass by and just has a nice dish in a beautiful place and drinking our wines. And we also created the rooms. So we really suggest to spend the night at least in the Lagoon of Venice. Actually, spending a few days would allow to really to discover the lagoon. But at least one night in the Lagoon of Venice really make you understand what is the essence of these islands. Because if you come during the day, you know, there's a lot of there's tourists that come to Murano. You have a different perception of the island. But if you sleep and you have a walk in the evening and in the morning, and you meet the local and you see, you know, the real life of the island, I think that's a great experience, and you can really understand the essence of this island. So we really wanted to to give the possibility to the people to discover the native Venice, to discover this part of the lagoon, and to experience our wine in the place where the wine is produced.
Yeah, it is a really, really special complex that you've developed, both from the vineyard point of view, but also as a hospitality and a unique island Venetian hospitality. But I'm interested to talk more about the food. I know, for example, you'll have fishermen bring fish direct to the restaurant. The Orto, as you said, is producing vegetables. All of these products coming from the lagoon have their own special flavor and really allow visitors to taste the lagoon in a way that can't be done anywhere else. What are some of the special dishes or special ingredients that are, you know, that are really part of the experience?
Yes, it's quite difficult because our menu changes a lot based on the season. But just to make an example, there's a raviolo which comes with all the herbs that grow spontaneously in the lagoon of Venice. So we really want also to emphasize not only the fish, but also the herbs and the vegetables that grows in Venice. Because as I told, agriculture was very important in the history of these islands. And the vegetable that grows in Venice has a very special and distinctive taste. And also the herbs that grows in Venice has a very special and distinctive...
From that saline soil.
Yes, exactly. So that dish really valorizes this type of flavors. Or another example that well represent our cuisine, it's a spaghetto with a garum. Garum, it's a Roman preparation, which is based on actually the leftovers of the fish. This sounds a little bit strange, but it's a great taste and a great way to really to use everything, every part of the ingredients, and actually the taste is become really, really nice. And this garum, it's comes also with the Dorona grapes juice, which is obtained not by the grapes that we use for the wine, but by the grapes that we don't use. So this comes by the green harvest grapes. So we make the green harvest, but we don't want to throw away anything. We conserve it. And at the restaurant, they use this for this dish. And they also make an ice cream with Dorona juice, green Dorona juice and powder of licorice. And then the spaghetti to complete the dish, that it comes some herbs from the tenuta and a gold leaf, which is placed on it to tell and to remember that actually what most of the time we throw away is actually gold. You know, you can turn something that you would throw away in something which has an amazing value.
That's really interesting. The garum, of course, was a seasoning of the ancient world, and the Roman economy was, fortunes were made on the trade of garum. So to have that taste, that fish sauce taste from the lagoon is absolutely fascinating. It's a special story and a special wine. And I hope our listeners will, when they come to Venice, will take a boat out to Mazzorbo and discover it for themselves. I'm looking forward to returning again myself, Matteo. I love visiting you and I hope to be back soon. But in the meantime, I just want to thank you for being our guest today. It's been a real pleasure to talk about Venice with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure for me to share this history.
Good. Thank you, Matteo, and I hope to see you soon.
All my best.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe right here or wherever you get your pods. Likewise, you can visit us at italianwinepodcast.com. Until next time, chin chin.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Italian Wine Podcast celebrates its fourth anniversary this year, and we all love the great content they put out every day. Chin Chin with Italian Wine People has become a big part of our day, and the team in Verona needs to feel our love. Producing the show is not easy, folks. Hurting all those hosts, getting the interviews, dropping the clubhouse recordings, not to mention editing all the material. Let's give them a tangible fan hug with a contribution to all their costs. Head to ItalianWinePodcast.com and click donate to show your love.